This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing of Litchfield. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And a very exciting day here on the program. Coming up at about 9:30, we are going to talk to Randy Legender, the head coach of the 1993 state champion Bulldogs 20 years ago. They are the last true Cinderella story. And Terry, you're going to be on hand tonight when the Dogs will honor the state champs.
They're going to be doing that between the JV and varsity games tonight, and looking forward. I think pretty much the whole team is going to be there and the coaching staff, so we're looking forward to an exciting time of seeing the Bulldogs, who were, as you mentioned, the last Cinderella team, and only because now that it's divvied up into four classes, you really don't have within a class a small versus a big. And Staunton was the one, you know, and I try to remember back, you know, everything was Hales Franciscan and Cairo, yep, in the semifinal.
Tyrone Nesby,
you know, guy had over 100 points in four games in the state tournament. He was, you know, pretty awesome. And
well, I remember being up there that day, yeah, and they played in the semifinals,
yeah,
and all the talk was, this is the state championship game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Dogs were an afterthought.
And I think Staunton beat Hamilton in the semis after beating Riverton in the quarterfinals on Friday. So, yeah, that was an exciting time, and they were. And now, around here, we knew how good they were, and we thought they had a pretty good shot. But statewide, they were the unknowns. They, you know, the rest of the state going, Staunton?
Right.
And where's
even,
that?
And even in the era of the two-class system, all the years that it was there, it was rare, I would say, for a town the size of Staunton to knock off a Chicago school in the state tournament.
Well,
it just doesn't happen a lot.
It just doesn't happen, yeah. And you know, in those days, in the AA tournament, for example, the Chicago Public League got one entry out of eight on the final Friday. So things have been reassigned now with the four-class system, and you have more Chicago Public League teams coming in to the state tournament. Oftentimes, you'll have two and three teams out of the CPL. So in the bigger tournament. So, yeah, it was quite a feat and quite a run by the Bulldogs.
That's right.
So still something that is, you know, you look back and you still kind of get goosebumps when you think about it, you know.
Well, we got something queued up,
yeah,
for later that's,
yeah,
going to give a lot of people goosebumps. So we're looking forward to the conversation with Randy Legender coming up at about 9:30. Then we'll have our special Fillmore correspondent, Carl Ray Fesser, joining us here on Sports Saturday. Carl Ray, of course, he's a lot of basketball around the state, so we'll get his thoughts on the season thus far. But, Terry, we want to start, obviously, on a somber note, mm-hmm, as today the greatest Cardinal of them all will be laid to rest.
Stan Musial, and really I got into, you know, as a kid, the Cardinals the year after Stan had retired. But I still kind of knew of Stan the man, and of course his legacy only grew as the years went along. But I guess the greatest thing about Stan Musial was the fact that he was St. Louis. Even though he was not a native of St. Louis, he became St. Louis. And probably the nicest man ever to wear a Major League Baseball uniform as far as dealing with fans, dealing with the public in general, visiting hospitals and that sort of thing.
That's why the nickname Stan the Man is so perfect.
Yeah.
Obviously, he got the name for his accomplishments on the ball field, but yeah, he was such a great man off the field. And that, I think, obviously is what his legacy will be. He'll be remembered for being a great ball player, but it's always better to be remembered for being a great man.
And the neat thing about the Cardinals, Tim, and I think you'll agree with it, nobody in Major League Baseball has an opening day like the Cardinals,
right,
with the Hall of Famers that come back in. And, you know, there'll be an empty chair with representing Stan this coming spring. But to see the Cardinal organization still have that relationship with all the Hall of Famers, it's pretty darn special.
It's a unique experience, and I've been to some big-time Cardinal games. I've been to the clinching game of the World Series in 06, was at game one of the World Series in 2011. I was actually fortunate enough to be at the game when Rick Ankiel made his first comeback when he was still a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
That was the loudest on-field for ovation for a current Cardinal, but no ovation ever matches whenever Stan would come out on the golf cart, whether,
yeah,
it was before a World Series game, just any playoff game, or just any time Stan was on the field. the stadium would shake.
Well, when the Clydesdales show up, that's special. When Stan shows up, it's really special.
That's exactly,
you know,
right.
And that was his legacy, when you look at the numbers, honest to goodness, when you look at the numbers, Stan has got to be in the top five of all time of Major League Baseball players. Because the thing that you got to remember, he was on the extreme west side of Major League Baseball for many, many years. And, you know, had he been in New York, he would have been the greatest baseball player probably in the history of the game.
At least had
a chance maybe next to Babe Ruth.
No question. I was thinking about this the other day, Terry, in terms of, you know, baseball is such a statistical game. I've heard him say before that Sportsman's Park, they went back and forth from having a basket like Wrigley Field to not having a basket. And if the basket would have been there Stan's whole career, he would have had well over 500 home runs. It's a lot of times you think since he didn't get to 500, maybe he gets downgraded a little bit in the historical context. But I was thinking about this. See if you agree. In a way, his own greatness kind of detracted from his overall numbers, okay? Because he had so many triples and so many doubles. But he had too many triples. He was just fast enough to leg out those triples to where if those are doubles, he's got so many doubles that it's just an insane number.
Yeah. You're right.
So it's just kind of weird that, in a way, he was so good that he spread out the home runs, doubles, and triples instead of just dominating one of the category. I mean, you look at his ranks in terms of extra base hits. I mean, it is staggering.
Well, the number that just knocks my socks off is the fact he had the exact number of hits, same number of hits on the road as he did at home.
That is weird.
That is just extremely, what are the odds? I mean, to be that consistent.
Only the man could
do
it.
Yeah.
One of the neatest things I saw last week, the Blues home opener during the intermission, they made an announcement about Stan's passing. 20,000 there gave a standing ovation, and we got stuck. My best friend and I got stuck in a traffic accident. We just passed Busch Stadium around, it was about midnight, 12:30, and the amount of people at 12:30 in the morning at the Musial statue laying flowers, candles, whatever, unbelievable.
And ironically enough, the Blues scored 6 goals that night.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that? I heard someone say, I don't remember who it was, a national commentator, said, Heaven's ERA just went up.
There you go. Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of ironic, I guess, Stan passing when he did. So many bad things happening in the sports. You got the Lance Armstrong debacle. Yeah. This Manti Te'o thing is just weird.
You know, I don't even understand what's going on with that thing.
It's so odd, but it just kind of, you know, brings to light just professional athletes, college athletes today, they're just cut from a different mold. And the mold with Stan was broken. There's going to be no one like him. But when you see all the bad things happen in sports, and then you hear about just how good of a person Stan Musial was. I mean, thousands of people who weren't even born when he played his last game show up to pay their respects. I mean, to me, that's probably about the greatest honor or tribute that a person can have. People who never met you or never saw you play feel a deep personal connection.
Sure.
And he set the tone for St. Louis athletes. You're seeing quite a few, and I guess you could put Ozzie Smith as the next person like this because he seems to be, he lives in St. Louis. If someone asks him for an autograph, he's always complimentary to sign autographs like the way Stan is. He set that tone for the St. Louis athletes to live up to, whether it's the Rams, the Blues, the Cardinals, or whatever.
You have to respect the guy. David Freese and John Jay, I guess, were at the visitation on Thursday, and I was reading some of their quotes, and you could just tell that a sincere respect, not for the player, but for the man. And that's what's going to separate him. You know, there's so many stories about Ted Williams. He was a jerk. He was just a bad guy. Babe Ruth, booze hound, womanizer. Not that those, you know, I don't want to classify him as a bad person because of that, but he had some off-the-field issues, we'll say, you know?
Obviously,
Barry Bonds, everyone knows about all the steroid era and all that. How can you live for 92 years like Stan Musial did? There's got to be one person on the face of the earth who hated Stan.
Well,
there has to be at least one, and I would like to know why. What did he do? What did he do? Because you're the only person on the face of the earth who has a problem with it.
He hit a curveball that was 2 inches off the plate.
That's exactly right.
That's what he did. You know, and he laced it into the corner for a triple. So
I read a great quote from Pujols the other day. He was talking about one time, I think it was 03, he was in a bit of a slump.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan came into the clubhouse, you know, and Albert always talked to Stan whenever he could. And Albert said, Stan, what can I do? You know, I got to get out of the slump. See the ball, hit the ball. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Won the MVP.
So,
you know,
it's just that simple. And oh, wow.
Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah, and in baseball, it really is true. And probably no one kept it simpler than Stan did.
Yeah.
See the ball, hit the ball.
And, you know, he played on some good Cardinal teams. He played on some teams that weren't so good. But Stan was always pretty good. So that was the thing.
His 1 year being general manager, they won the championship. Yeah. That's not a bad record.
That's not bad.
And of course, we hired a guy named Red Shandies to manage the team. Yeah,
and of course, he missed one of his prime years serving in World War II.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
just obviously a great man, and he will be laid to rest today.
Well, when you look back into the legacy of Major League Baseball and the legacy of Cardinal baseball, you know, had Albert stayed around, I'm not sure that he would have ever surpassed Stan in the legacy department. Might have had bigger numbers, but do you really think he would have surpassed Stan? I don't think so.
We'll
never know.
He made his choice, and that's fine. But it's just kind of fitting now that Stan, there will be no question that for time immemorial, he will be the greatest Cardinal of them all.
Actually, baseball's losing two members of baseball being laid to rest today. Stan and an Earl Weaver.
Earl Weaver, yeah.
Being
laid
to rest today. Earl
Weaver passed away last week, so.
He was a little angrier.
Yeah,
he was from St. Louis too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was originally from St. Louis, but he had a great tomato patch in the bullpen, from what I understand, when they played in the old stadium at Baltimore.
Oh, Memorial Park.
So, he used to grow wicked tomatoes, I guess.
I love the video of early. They got to be in the umpire's face, turning his hat around backwards, so he can get nose to nose with him, and just pointing his finger at him.
Weaver was he was quick tempered. Yeah. And he wouldn't mind kicking a little dirt now and then.
That's always fun. Maybe that's where Lou Piniella had a lot of early.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know, and with Weaver, get two on and have a 3-run homer.
That's baseball anymore. But I think that's why baseball has such a connection for so many people in this country, because it attracts all types. Mm-hmm. You got Stan the man, his personality, and then a person like Earl Weaver with his personality. It's just the beauty of the game.
And Tim, we scratch our heads every once in a while and think, you know, of all the major sports going on, baseball, the ship has been righted.
Yeah.
who'd have thunk that Major League Baseball would be more popular than ever, bigger numbers in attendance, bigger numbers, you know, for TV money. The ship has been righted. And to think that there's problems in football. You know, basketball's had problems. The NHL, obviously, with problems. It's a head-scratcher sometimes.
They've got the longest labor piece of all four major sports. How did that happen?
Yeah.
How did that happen? So,
it happened because the backlash from the previous strike, you know, it took the steroid era to reignite baseball.
Yeah, it's true.
And baseball doesn't want that to happen again.
Yeah, but with some of these contracts that are coming out, how much longer is there going to be labor peace? I mean, that's what...
As long as the owners are making money.
There's got to be a line somewhere.
As long as there's big TV contracts.
Well, big TV contracts and sold-out stadiums.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the NHL's problem. They got no big TV contracts.
Yeah.
Baseball does.
You know, in baseball...
And they play 162 games.
Well, they play 162 games. It's a long season for Major League Baseball. I think the thing that hockey still has trouble with, even in the HD era with HDTV, is the fact that it's not the most friendly thing to watch on TV. It just isn't.
Yeah.
Just because of the way the rink is shaped. And now there's a lot of different camera angles that they can use, and that's good. But it's, you know, sometimes it's difficult to even follow the fight of the puck.
Yeah, it's better than it used to be, but it's still not ideal.
Yeah.
At least we don't have that fox tracker thing where
we can be thankful for
the
that.
Blue dot going around.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
we need
awful.
A break.
Okay, we're gonna get to a break here on Sports Saturday. So Stan the man will be laid to rest today in St. Louis, and it'll be very interesting to see what the Cardinals do to they're gonna do something
they will do
to
something.
Honor him
yes.
during the season. We will find out, I guess. Spring training's pretty close.
You know, maybe they'll have a bobblehead night or something for Stan, and you never know.
They're
but I get whatever it is, whatever it's going to be, they'll pack the house.
Oh, they're absolutely. And the Cardinals will do it right. They always honor their greats better than anyone.
They're going to have a six patch on there, but other than that, it's up in the air.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back following these messages.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's Restaurant in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires, complete exhaust service, and heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's Crew Cab Rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. So when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield.
And at 9:19, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. Expect highs in the mid-30s, becoming cloudy with rising temperatures. We'll have a low tonight of about 25 degrees. Heading into Sunday, a mix of rain and freezing rain possible. We'll have highs in the low 40s. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Cloudy skies with a chance of showers Monday and Tuesday. It will be colder on Wednesday. Expect highs in the low 40s. The lows will be in the mid-30s. At 9:20, we have a temperature reading of 22 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:21, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Thank you very much. We are back here on Sports Saturday. Basketball for you on the radio tonight. Litchfield at Hillsboro Girls live at 7:30. And then Lincolnwood at Staunton Boys will follow at about 9 here on FM 106. But Terry, it's going to be, rarely does a Litchfield-Hillsboro matchup kind of get overshadowed a little bit. But when you're honoring the state champions,
yeah,
that tends to happen.
It's going to be a very special night. First off, let's not take anything away from the Litchfield-Hillsboro girls matchup tonight. Ought to be one heck of a battle.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, you know, places in the within the upper echelon of the conference here that are still to be battled for. So they'll have a nice crowd there at Hillsboro tonight. But then Lincolnwood-Staunton. Lincolnwood beat Staunton in the Christmas tournament at Carlinville.
Right.
And so a chance for a little revenge tonight for the Bulldogs, who are coming off a loss last night to Nokomis. And in between the junior varsity and varsity games, we'll be making the presentation tonight. So, and I appreciate the offer from Coach Moore to be part of that. So that's kind of neat. So,
and hats off to Steve Moore. We know that he's a historian. He wrote that great book about the history of Staunton sports. But to me, that's always one of the great things when you're trying to build a program. Mm-hmm. You have to embrace the history of the program. And when you've got a state champion from your school, I mean, a relative recent memory, 1993,
mm-hmm,
you have to embrace it.
Well, it just doesn't happen that often. You know, the IHSA has been around for a long, long time, and state tournaments of various types have been around for a long, long time. And there are literally hundreds, if not, you know, many hundreds of these schools have never even had an opportunity to compete at that level. And they would almost cut off their right arm to do that. And to be able to not only compete at a high level, but to win at a high level is so unique. People, and we say it all the time, Tim, how tough it is just to win a regional, let alone to go beyond a regional into the sectional and even beyond that to a super and then compete at, you know, on the big stage at the Assembly Hall. It's just a difficult thing to do. And you got to have the right group of athletes. You got to have the right group of coaches, and you got to have lady luck on your side along the way.
And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the 1993 state champion Staunton Bulldogs, Randy Legender. Randy, thank you for a few minutes of your time. Can you believe it's been 20 years?
Well, in some ways it seems like it was a week ago. In other ways it seems like it was 30 years ago, but it's been a good 20 years.
Yeah. Randy, as you look back and now you come in contact with the players that you had, and they're, you know, they all have families and they're all contributing to society. Probably a special bit of pride on your behalf for what these young men have done.
Oh, I tell you, you talk about a group of kids. It was kind of funny because we went into the Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame about 5 or 10 years ago. Yeah. And I had a bunch of coaches come up to me and said, hey, we used to give you credit for winning that, but when you told me what your kids were doing now, they were a whole lot smarter than you were.
Oh, my.
And you know what I told them? I agreed with
them. Well, one of the great memories is the fact that people like to toss the thing out now, especially since we're just beyond the Macoupin County Tournament, is that, you know, the Bulldogs from Staunton lost to the Bulldogs of Verdon, but the Bulldogs from Staunton go on to win the state championship. So it's kind of a unique situation back in 1993.
Right. It was we had won the county the year before,
mm-hmm.
and we thought we had a pretty good shot this year, or 93. But like I said, they were a good team. I mean, I'm giving them a lot of credit.
Sure.
And
people don't realize, Randy, Verdon was in the Super Sectional the year before and lost in the Super. So, you know, they were a good team, and they had most everybody coming back. So
I think that was one of the nice things. Well, Litchfield,
mm-hmm.
we played in the sectional final, you know, and they had an excellent team. And the conference was strong. It was a blessing. I mean, there's years I would say that's not a blessing when you're facing the type of teams we had to face that year. But the Thanksgiving tournament started out with it was very tough. We lost a game there. We lost the county final. We lost Southwestern once. So I mean, we had our losses, but I mean to get through the year with four losses is pretty good record for the competition we played at that time.
I do remember the Southwestern game, broadcasting that game, and I think there were a total of 3 turnovers in that game that night. I mean, the game was terrific.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they beat us.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no ifs, ads, or buts about it. And but at the same time, I mean, I think sometimes you have to, not that you want to lose, but I think the fact we played tough competition, the probability of us being undefeated all the way through was just not there. And I think it helped. It was a confidence builder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew we had work to do, and we knew what we did wrong those games. And we talked about it, and it not that you, like I said, not that you want to lose any game, but. I think we benefited from, you know, like I said, with the mentality of the team that I had and the players I had, obviously they took that, you know, that bothered them as much as it bothered me, put it that way.
Randy Legender, the head coach of the 1993 state champion Staunton Bulldogs, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And, Coach, everyone knows the names Kuba, Myers, you know, you got May, you got Skirtish, but in a lot of ways, when Ronnie Hampton showed up on the scene, you had that guard, and that kind of was the catalyst, it seems.
Yeah, Ronnie, well, like I say, that was his first year with us, and he is from a basketball family, you know that. Mm-hmm. Dad coached at Livingston, and he was just from a very good brother coached, you know, all over the state, and it was nice to have somebody that is a pure point guard. You know, not that Ronnie couldn't. I mean, if you remember, he made some pretty good free throws at the end of the ball game against Hales. But it just was nice to have somebody with his coolness, his mentality. And we just had, like I say, there was 5 players out there, and they all fit, you know. Sometimes you have 3 that do that, and sometimes 4, but you very seldom get it with 5.
Yeah.
And then every player on that team had a role to do, and I think they accepted those roles. Like Brad Skirtage didn't score much, but played good defense for us, and he took pride in the fact that I except for a point man, I usually put him on the toughest player the other team had offensively. So he guarded a good player every night. And Brad, I don't know if you, how well you know him, but Brad took that as a challenge. And that's good.
He wouldn't have wanted it any other way, that's
he
for
wouldn't
sure.
Have, no.
Well, Randy, we always talk about you get the postseason. It's all about the draw and having some luck along the way. Take a listen to this. I think a lot of folks, this is kind of the defining moment of your state championship run.
With the basketball at the free throw line, Gary Emmons, your free throw shooter for Red Hill. He's just 1 out of 3 on the night. It is Red Hill 64, Staunton 63. 12 seconds to play in double overtime. The Bulldogs have gotten 3-point shots toward the end of regulation from Andy Kuba and at the buzzer of the first overtime by Jeremy May. And the free throw is missed by Emmons. It's pulled down by Skirting. He goes off to Beth. Now Beth with 5 seconds. Goes to May. 3 seconds. Underneath, Kuba, long. No good. At the buzzer. It's good. And the basket down. Staunton is going to stay. Staunton will go to state. Andy Kuba tipped in the shot with 1 second to play. And it fell through off the rim at the buzzer. Staunton will go to state with a 24-4 record. 65-64. The Bulldogs have defeated the Red Hill Salukis. We've seen 3 buzzer beaters in 1 game tonight, and all of them came from the Staunton Bulldogs. Andy Kuba did it twice. Jeremy May did it once.
Stan McCaslin with the call, wow. And Coach, how did that sound?
Oh, geez, I still I kind of wish you hadn't played that. it was unbelievable. I mean, it was just, like you said, I think it kind of, maybe we are destined to win this thing. And that was, and Red Hill was such a good team. I felt sorry for them. I felt bad, because they played so well. And no team deserved to lose that game. But it was a great way for us to go up to Champaign. I think the kids thought we had something going.
Randy, as you went to Champaign, and of course, I think you had Riverton in the quarterfinal round game, right. And then you had Hamilton in the semis. But were you aware of the fact that the prognosticators had pretty much anointed the semifinal game between Hales and and that was the championship game, right? The Cairo and Hales and you what were your thoughts about Cairo and Hales and this was really the championship game?
I'll be honest, I hope they thought it was.
Yeah.
That's good for us. I think people that year took us lightly a lot. It didn't wait till the final game up there. I think we hadn't been ranked, I don't think, until I think we got finally in the top 16 after the sectional or something like that. I mean, we hadn't been ranked in the top 20 all year. And like I said, it's kind of nice to take people by surprise a little bit. And if Hales went into that game thinking it was going to be easy, that's good for us because we knew it wasn't going to be. And after the first game up there, that had me kind of worried because we went down. I can't remember, was it 10-0 at the first of the Riverton game?
Yeah, you guys were slow out of the gate.
Yeah. And I called the timeout, and I kind of looked at Dave. What am I going to tell? We're down 10-0.
Well, we need 10 points, boys.
Yeah. And I thought, if I go out there yelling and screaming, it's going to be over. I thought, and my idea, these kids didn't need a kick in the pants. They were ready to play, and things hadn't gone the way we wanted them to go, but I think they were going to. And that's basically what I told them. I said, hey, we've had a lot of games we haven't had a good start, and this is just another one. We're just someplace different this time.
Right, I'm curious what the mindset is, because back in those days, obviously, you got to that Friday in quarterfinals, and if you lose, you go home, you get no trophy. It's not that way now with the four-class system. So it sounds like a silly thing to say, but in a way, is there more pressure in that quarterfinal game than even in the state championship game?
I'll be honest. I think you get into even a, it's a short routine or something. I'm not sure I'm using the right word here, but when you get up there, the first game, obviously it was everybody's first game for, on our team, you know. And I had talked to a lot of people about what they did the night before and that type of thing. And we got up there, when we get up there, and all this. And so, I mean, I had help in planning for it. But I think, like I say, I think the kids went into it with the right attitude. They thought they could win it. And I think that's the important thing. I don't think they thought that we were going to go up there, play one game, and go home.
Yeah.
You know, I think they had the confidence that we could go up and win the thing. And it was a rough weekend, to be honest with you.
And you know, Randy, the thing about a state tournament weekend like that, it goes so fast, especially in that era when you played three games in 2 days. And sometimes you don't really have time to enjoy it. I mean, you're just, you know, the IHSA has everything so mapped out of where you have to be, and you know, then you have interviews and this, that, and the other. Sometimes you just don't even get a chance to hardly take a breath.
You know what, though? I'm not going to argue with you, but I think that's good. It was good for us. I mean, we were busy all the time. I mean, we got to practice once when we got up there. I guess it was on Thursday. And they had meetings with, they interviewed the coaches on an IHSA channel or something, and I couldn't even go to the practice. And so the boys went to practice. Of course, you know, I had Dave, so I didn't worry about what was going on at practice, because Dave Lemoore is, you know, they were probably better off he was there than me. And I didn't even think about it, you know. I didn't worry about it. Until I got back to the hotel and the team came in and they had somebody limping, and Dave Lemoore came up and said that he twisted his ankle.
Uh-oh.
And if you know Dave, that sounds like Dave. And after I hit him once.
Randy Legenda, the head coach of the 1993 state champion Bulldogs, joined us here on Sports Saturday. So, Coach, the final horn sounds. Your state champions. How long did it take for that to actually sink in?
Boy, I tell you, when it went off and we had it, I just stood up and I didn't know what to do. I'll be honest with you. You know, I wanted to give everybody a hug, and I kind of just stood there for a bit, and then Dave, I think Dave was the first person that I got a chance to talk to, and we went out on the floor, and it was, well, it's just hard to explain. It's just something that I wish every kid could experience, but, you know, it's just not that way. And I was just glad I had a group that deserved it, both as people and as basketball players, individuals and basketball players.
Randy, I think you hold a Guinness Book of World Records for eating the most Tums in 1 week, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I ever told you this one. I fell out of bed the first time. Hit my head on my chest, and, you know, it hurt. People were telling me they watched me. I was holding my chest. Well, they would think I was having a heart attack. I just fell out of bed the night before. I'm not a very exciting person. And, you know, I never got upset at games. So heart attack was out of the question.
I tell you, it makes a great story 20 years later, though. Oh, oh well, we're looking forward to all the activities tonight and everybody getting together, and it's a tremendous thing for a school to experience a state championship, and boy, a well-deserved state championship by the Bulldogs.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it very much.
Randy Legenda, the coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, the 1993 state basketball champions. Randy, I'll see you tonight, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That was good
fell
stuff.
Out of bed. Oh. Fell out of bed. I kind of think I remember him telling that several years ago. So, yeah, it was great.
That was neat right there.
That was. And
you know, Terry,
he pointed out, he says he wishes every kid could experience
something
like that.
Absolutely.
And that's great.
And he totally just downplayed his contributions to the effort. But let's be honest, he was the right coach at the right time for those kids. And they probably don't win the state tournament if Randy Legender is not their head coach.
Well, there he goes. You know, to get down 10-12-0, quarterfinal game, call timeout, and remain calm.
Absolutely.
You know, that was probably as key a moment as anything.
And how often do we talk about teams reflect the personality of their head coach? And in a situation like that, when the head man is calm, cool, and collected, that's only going to feed to the players.
And he gave a lot of credit to Dave Lemoore, the assistant coach. And I remember when Maury Huff was had the Nokomis girls at state, and he gave so much credit to Rochelle McDowell, his assistant, and handling things. And Randy's right. I mean, you are busy all the time when you get to the state tournament. There's so many things that you're required to do by the IHSA, and it goes by in a flash almost. And then you come home, you get a chance to take a breath and go, gosh, did we really do this? You know, and they did. They did.
And terrific. You could hear after we played the clip from the Super Section, you could hear the emotion in his voice even 20 years later. I mean, that is such, you've said it before, greatest call that WSMI has ever had, courtesy of Stan McCaslin right there in that Super Sectional game. But you still get the goosebumps and feel the passion even after all these years later.
I was sitting here rubbing my arms, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is just every time I hear. You know, and you can't listen to it too much, because if you do, you just you almost get weepy.
Right.
you know, it does. It affects you that way. So, anyway, it's I'm really looking forward tonight. Looking forward to having a good ball game as well. Yes. I mean, we'll have a good, great ball game tonight with Staunton and Linkwood, but really looking forward to seeing the 1993 Bulldogs tonight. So that's great.
Oh, it's awesome.
I tell you what, you look at our listening area and how fortunate we've had, you know, how fortunate we are to have some terrific teams over the years. And not all of them have won a state tournament, but we've had some really good athletic teams representing our listening area for a long time. So it's terrific. Really enjoy it.
And if you're the Verdon Bulldogs, you can say, we beat the state
champs. That's right. Verdon was a heck of a team. I tell you what, for about a 2 or 3 year period, Verdon was just awesome. And they did lose in the Super the year before in 92. And I think they lost the sectional championship, I think, in 93. So that's a long time ago.
That's a long time
ago. I need to go look up to some records, perhaps, and to be a little more accurate. But I'm guessing that's what happened.
That's right. The last true Cinderella in the state of Illinois, the 1993 Staunton Bulldogs.
Staunton, where's that?
Where is that? And every time I walk into that high school, I always stop and I look at that trophy case.
They redid that trophy case, and man, is it nice.
Oh, slick.
It's slick, slick in Staunton, yeah.
And you mentioned it, Terry, during we were just there for the Macoupin County Tournament last week. They kind of did some remodeling in the gym, but they left the championship plywood up there. That thing is cool. I love it.
You know, and I don't care how old it looks, how long, you can't part with it because it's part of what the Bulldogs legend is now. And right next to it were the Terriers. And you know, 10 years earlier that won the IESA state basketball championship. And Larry Lux was their coach in 1983. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. On a personal, that was the first state tournament I ever went to.
Really?
Back in 1993. Yeah. My parents took us up there. And
wasn't that great?
Never thought they were going to win it. Never thought
they were. How old were you at the time?
See, 1993, so I would have been in like sixth grade, fifth or sixth grade.
What were your thoughts walking into the assembly hall the first time you saw it?
Really just
huge?
Like, oh my goodness. You know?
The unique design?
Yeah, like didn't look this big on TV. And that's the thing when you walk into a building for the first time, you see all the stuff that the cameras don't pick up. You have the design of the building. Just seeing the floor with your own eyes. Mm-hmm. The colors are more vibrant. You know, that orange was just popping.
Yeah.
It was funny. Assembly Hall, that was my first state championship that I went to see. First time in Assembly Hall. I remember going to our seats, looking up at the top of the dome and getting a dizzy spell because that dome was so tall. My brother and I went to an Illini game not too long ago, and that was my first time back in the Assembly Hall since that championship. And I'm like, man, it's not as big as what I remember.
Seats are terribly uncomfortable. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
They were hard.
Yeah. But what I really remember is we obviously had general admission tickets, so we were sitting in the upper deck. But I vividly remember the Staunton fans
behind
sea of the red. Bench. The Sea of Red just going crazy. Yeah. That, to me, was one of the images that I always remember is just the celebration of just pure joy.
Yeah.
Pure joy after they won. You know, sometimes these bigger programs that are expected to win, it's almost relief when they win. When the Bulldogs won, it was pure joy.
And, Tim, we've heard stories about teams that have won a state championship and then have dropped the championship trophy when they get back to the hotel and didn't really care that they dropped it. You know, that trophy was held on to very tightly by the Bulldogs and now resides at Staunton High School, deservedly
and
so.
And if you haven't seen it, you got to check it out, because not only do they have the trophy, but they got some pictures. They got a signed ball from all the kids. They got, of course, the championship nets. It really is just an awesome display right there in the lobby.
Corey Painter's bandana that he wore is on the trophy. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Very, very cool. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I mean, Randy and Dave, good guys, good group of kids. And it really put basketball on the map again. Here in Mid-Illinois.
No question about it. So we thank Randy Legender for a few minutes of his time. They will honor the champs tonight at Staunton High School. We will have that broadcast for you about 9 o'clock. It will follow our live coverage of the Litchfield-Hillsborough girls game, which comes your way at 7:30 here on FM 106. It'll all stream online at WSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more following these messages.
Some things in life, they just feel right. Like a sunny day or a cool country night, a family picnic.
Get a jump start on cold winter mornings with a warm breakfast. Top off steaming oatmeal with farmer-owned Prairie Farms butter and Prairie Farms milk. And serve 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:45, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. Expect highs in the mid-30s, becoming cloudy with rising temperatures. We'll have lows in the mid-20s. For Sunday, a mix of rain and freezing rain will have is possible for Sunday. Expect a high of around 40 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Cloudy skies with a chance of showers Monday and Tuesday. It will be colder on Wednesday, however. Expect highs in the low 40s, the lows in the mid-30s. At 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 23 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:47, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Tobinot, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday, and Terry, from the top state champion head coach Randy Legender down several notches to our Fillmore correspondent, Carl Ray Fesser, good enough to join us on the phone. Hello, Carl Ray.
Hey, Tim, how are you today?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Hey, I got a quick story to tell.
Okay.
And one thing I'd like to say is congratulations to the 93 Staunton team. I do remember working them in the Macoupin County tournament in the semifinals when they played Piasaw that year. So I'm kind of showing my age, not like you, Mr. Mize, when they won it up at State when you were still in sixth grade.
I was a young pup.
Yes, sir. You've changed a little bit since then.
A little. I've grown taller.
But good for them folks at Staunton. I go over there and work a lot of ball, and they're a bunch of good people over there, and they deserve the recognition they're getting today.
Well, Carl Ray, as we're kind of reminiscing about the Staunton Bulldogs from 20 years ago, the state champions, I know you always are privileged to see a lot of the good teams around the state on the boys' side of the draw, and this year has been no different for you.
That is true. I mean, it just – I don't mean this bad, but it seems like basketball's went a little bit downhill, but there is some really good teams in the area right now. And you run into them night in, night out, and it kind of surprises you at times. Guys, I know we did get the honor to work T-Town Breeze Central, which are two really good programs, and I've heard T-Town stepped it up. We saw them like November the 30th, and they've changed their lineup a little bit. I talked to some guys. If you lose me for a second, I'm going through a bottom. Hopefully you won't. So, but, yeah, they're good ball clubs. North Mac, seen them against Staunton in the Macoupin County Tournament. Not real nice ball game. Staunton got off to a real good start, I thought, in that ball game. And then North Mac just hung around and really buckled down and played real nice ball. Running the North Green Ball Club up at Winchester Invitational, I thought it's a pretty nice ball club, too. And there's other good ball clubs, but them were the ones that are just off the top of my head. Well, I tell you what, we had another one is the Roxana Bunch. They're big. They're a handful with a 6'9 kid, and then they got 6'5, 6'3, and they do a nice job. I mean, Carterville did a real nice job last night hanging with them, and then all of a sudden Roxana just kind of fourth quarter come around, and they just kind of put them away. Yep. So, yeah, we're seeing some good ball clubs.
And, Carl, once you get into this part of the season, sometimes, you know, you do three or four games in a week, and sometimes the legs are a little draggy. You kind of have to rejuvenate yourself mentally and get yourself ready for a big matchup, say like a T-Town and a Breeze Central game. But once you step on the floor and you see those teams warming up, that all goes away, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, we were at Carterville last night. We're going to Calhoun tonight. Don't know who we're running into over there. I know I've been over there before, and we've run into a team out of Missouri every once in a while, a non-conference game. And that's nice that you get to see teams that you don't regularly see. I mean, that's why I really do enjoy doing some traveling, and I got my two knuckleheads that I run around with quite a bit, and that makes it fun too. You know, Mr. Toll and Mr. Smith, and then last night we kind of split up as we were with Mr. Brook, and every once in a while we get Junior to fill in, and that means Jeremy Smith. We call him Junior because he's the youngster of the two crews, and have a lot of fun. But Junior's no junior when you get him on the floor.
No, he's not.
He's a very veteran official.
Carl, those guys are gutsy crossing county lines with you. That could be a dangerous proposition.
Well, yeah, I know. But we just kind of run around and have a lot of fun.
And Carl, as a basketball fan, you know, as an official, here's a way to give back to the game. I know you've played and you love the game, and it's important to give back to the contest, to these games, and you can do that through officiating. And some people can't understand why in the world somebody would put a striped shirt on.
Yeah, Terry, that is so true. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm seeing some things. Right now we don't have very many young officials coming on. And that's becoming a concern. If we want to keep this high school sports still going, there's going to have to be some younger people get involved in this, because one of these days we're going to be done. I mean, I'm not going to run up and down the floor until I'm 70 years old. I've got other interests that I want to do. And that's a big concern nowadays.
Is there anything that the IHSA can do to, I don't know, make it more appealing to younger people?
Well, yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I sure wish I could figure it out, because, heck, I might be able to make a little money off of it if I figure it out, guys. But I just think that maybe in the, you know, you get kids in college that they might be able to run some classes. I don't know. But the big thing is getting the young kids and getting them game time experience. That's key critical. Is getting them experience in game situations.
And it's very critical when a young person starts out, and probably Jeremy can attest to this, you know, he had a good example to follow, and you got to work some bigger games, but you have to work them with officials who are very experienced.
Exactly. It sure does help out. I know when I started out, Terry, you wanted that varsity game. Well, you get the varsity game, and then you're not prepared, and you run into situations, and maybe that gets you timid for a little while, and you never quite prepared till you get into them situations. You got to give younger guys chances too, but if you got a couple guys that are with them that are got some experience that can maybe snicker a little bit on, and I don't mean that bad. We got to kind of keep it loose out there because we do this for, it's a high priced hobby. You know, we don't make much money doing it, and we sure do enjoy doing it, but you got to keep a smile on your face and have fun with it too.
Carl Ray Fesser joining us on the phone, one of the outstanding officials in the state of Illinois. And Carl Ray, was there any point of emphasis this year from the IHSA that maybe they wanted something to be called a little bit more than it had been in years past?
Yeah, there has been. Rough play is an issue that has been going on for a long time. We're calling disadvantage advantage right now. I know post play, we discuss this all the time amongst our crew with other crews. So we can try and get some consistency amongst crews. And I know you, I look at it, and the game is very rough. I mean, it's a contact sport right now. And the biggest thing I always say, if I get a kid hurt during the game, is there things go through my head? Could we have made a call not to get that kid hurt or something? And it got chippy on us last night. By end of the third quarter, the kids they got chippy, and during the quarter break, I went to both huddles and I said, guys, it's getting chippy out there. You guys can stop it if you want to, but if you guys don't, we're going to. And I was with Rick and Toddy, and we seen that what was happening, but the kids come out in the fourth and they just played ball. They quit the chippiness, and that's what you get in when you get your veteran officials. They do a lot of talking, and that's one thing I'm trying to get better at, making sure the kids know and the coaches know what we're thinking, because if they don't know what we're thinking, they can't respond to what we want.
And, of course, for officials, and maybe some people don't realize this, Carl, but, you know, it's a yearly thing where you get tuned up with the rules and the tests, and, you know, you have to attend the meetings, the clinics, and this sort of thing. So it's an ongoing thing year after year. It's not something that you take a test once and you referee for 25 years.
That's correct. Yeah, we have to go to clinics. We have to do one every 3 years or we get put on probation. But really, probably the best thing is to go to one every year, because we got postseason play coming up, and we go off PowerPoints, and we get extra PowerPoints if we go to a clinic every year. Carl's not been very good. He missed this year's clinic, so I may Mr. Gibson may not look very highly of me come postseason play, but that's their decision, and that's something we can't worry about. We just go out and call ball, and if we get honored with a postseason assignment, we accept it and go enjoy it.
Carl, real quick here, we got just a few seconds left. Is it a little more fun during the postseason when you get assigned a regional or a sectional?
Well, you know, it's kind of an honor that you receive, but it you get down to it's still a ball game, and you're going to get a winner and a loser, and yes, it gets a little bit more chippy. You know, the fans get into it a little bit more, and the players do too, and yeah, we do too, but you know, we're kind of the walking wounded. I looked last night when we was getting dressed, Todd had two knee braces on, Rick had two, I had one. There's all kinds of tape, and it's pretty stinky with the heat that goes on the way. Time, so we just kind of get through the season and do enjoy it very much. So hey, I know you guys are short of time.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for letting me on, and maybe I'll give you a buzz some other time.
Anytime, okay. Carl. Thank you very much for calling in. We look forward to talking to you down the line. WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106. We're running out of time, and maybe Tobin, if you could recue the great audio, we're gonna take us out. On that note, what better way when we will honor the Staunton Bulldogs for their state championship 20 years ago. We will have live coverage tonight of Litchfield Hillsboro girls at 7:30, and then the broadcast of Lincolnwood Staunton at 9 here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.
With the basketball at the free throw line, Gary Emmons, your free throw shooter for Red Hill. He's just 1 out of 3 on the night. It is Red Hill 64, Staunton 63. 12 seconds to play in double overtime. The Bulldogs have gotten 3-point shots toward the end of regulation from Andy Kuba and at the buzzer of the first overtime by Jeremy May. And the free throw is missed by Emmons. It's pulled down by Skirting. He goes off to Beth. Now Beth with 5 seconds. Goes to May. 3 seconds. Underneath. Kuba. Lob. No good. Tip. At the buzzer. It's good. And the basket down. Staunton is going to stay. Staunton will go to state. Andy Kuba tipped in the shot with 1 second to play. And it fell through off the rim at the buzzer. Staunton will go to state with a 24-4 record. 65-64. The Bulldogs have defeated the Red Hill Salukis. We've seen 3 buzzer beaters in 1 game tonight, and all of them came from the Staunton Bulldogs. Andy Kuba did it twice. Jeremy May did it once.